In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, so we have almost reached the end of the regular summer sessions. Of course, those of you in Greek have a wee bit longer to go yet. It's been an interesting summer, I am sure, for you, filled with all kinds of challenges in your education. If you are anything like the students were when I was in seminary, you are probably wondering whether you are going to manage to make it all the way through Greek, and that they will allow you, perhaps, maybe, to begin to study this fall. If that's where you're at, relax. I know very few people who don't somehow or another make it through Greek. This, too, will pass, and sooner or later, so will you. And then seminary will really begin for you. For those of us who live on a little bit more of a regular schedule, we have come to kind of notice that summer is just about over, and that can be terrifying when you have teenagers and kids to put in school and all kinds of running to go around. Just when you'd gotten used to their being home, you have to think about putting them back in school. A part of that is wondering where on earth you are going to come up with the cash to buy school supplies, where you are going to find the resources to enroll them in school, to pay this fee, that fee, or the other one, and, oh, by the way, the extra one that you didn't see. Long about now, the way timing goes, your car is probably acting up, the house is beginning to break down. You might find yourself saying to your friends and to your relatives and to your kids, where are we going to get the food to eat, much less to do all these other things? Sometimes it can get so bad that you may begin to wonder if you're going to manage to sleep through the night with worry about how to balance the books. And sure, you pray, but sometimes that really doesn't comfort you all that much when the next mailbox opens up and there's six more bills for you to deal with. How are you to eat? How are you to sleep? How are you to keep on schedule and, oh yes, be able to afford seminary when classes do begin in September? Are you depressed yet? Perhaps. Of course, we always remember what our Lord has to say at times like these. It is good for a seminary student and a seminary staff person and professors too to occasionally have to deal with these kinds of things because they remind us of what our Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount, that we shouldn't have to worry about all these things, what we shall eat or what we shall wear or where we shall lay down our head or where the cash is coming from, because the Heavenly Father knows that you need these things and he will take care of you. So do as you are doing. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all the rest will be added unto you. This, as you may have gathered, is not a new lesson that the people of God have had to learn. As Moses had led the people out of Egypt, you think, you know, tiny little things like major plagues, the death of all the firstborn in Egypt, the drowning of Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea, might have kind of given them a clue that God was going to take care of them. Yet pretty soon they are asking, what shall we eat? God responds with manna and quails for them to eat. What shall we drink? And God supplies water from rocks, believe it or not. In addition to that, there were others who were tried. A widow in a foreign land hid out the prophet Elijah to keep him safe from the people of Israel, and her food was running out. But because the prophet was with her, the food lasted day after day, week after week, while people in Israel began to starve for lack of rain. His successor Elijah fed 100 men with 20 loaves of bread in a way that sounds very much like our text. In fact, these things were probably on the minds of the people who had noticed that Jesus had snuck off into the desert with his disciples to talk a little bit about the mission that they had been on. So they came out and they followed him, and Jesus, having compassion on them, sat and taught them for a while. As evening broke, he fed them too with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, this time 5,000 men and the women and children besides. And they must have thought, look how God takes care of us, as he did our fathers, and as he did in the time of Moses. Jesus met their needs so that they might know the lesson which was taught to them first by Moses, that you should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, indeed, and all the rest will be provided you as well. But that's not sometimes the way we think about it, is it? Even his disciples really didn't have much of a clue. When Jesus told them, you feed them, they started to say, okay, let's see. We'll have to send them into the towns. Well, no, that really won't work. So we're going to have to buy the food. Maybe we need a development office and they can help us get the funds for this. And they were beginning to think about all of those little things that they needed to do to feed them. They weren't thinking, you know, hey, maybe God will take care of us. Let's ask him and see what happens. In fact, that was what Satan tried to do to Jesus during his 40 years in the desert, and as he was tempted and tested before the beginning of his ministry. Satan said to him, if you are the Son of God, here are some rocks. Turn them into food. Jesus, of course, knew better than that. He was not here to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. For him, the words of God were food enough and drink enough. We try sometimes all our devices to care for ourselves and our families. And this is not to say, hey, let's sit back and see if money just kind of drops into our lap, or ignore the bills because somehow magically God will write a check and send it. But sometimes we overmuch worry the details. We allow ourselves to be turned inside out when things don't go quite well, and we forget that, really, God will take care of us, really. And that even if he were to require our life, not only would that not be the end of the world, but that might even be a blessing for us. And so, if God is going to take care of us, we need not worry or be upset. When times are lean, we need not lay awake at night wondering what to do. We can leave those things at the foot of our Savior and allow him to worry about it, and then the next morning see what he would have us to do. That way, he will take care of us. And you know, as much as we don't like to talk about experience in the Lutheran Church, the more you walk with God in that way and allow him and his grace to take care of you, the more you discover, you know, he does come through. And occasionally, when you do worry, he will supply something for you anyway, and you'll say, ye of little faith, look what God has been able to do for me. This is because Jesus does provide for you. In his love, the Father provided all that we need, body and soul, mind and spirit, reason in all our senses, house, clothing, shoes, you know the drill. On the cross, Jesus provided everything we really needed. He was the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. His death paid the bills of our debt, so that we might be free to serve him in thanksgiving for what he had done. In his word, the Holy Spirit calls us out of ourselves to seek his kingdom first, to become involved in our studies, in our preaching, in our ministry, in our caring for one another, and allowing him to work out the details so that we too might be taken care of. And when times do get rough, and when we do fail, we have some place that we can focus that is beyond ourselves. We can look forward to the end of time, to the future that awaits us in God's heavenly kingdom, where there will be no more needs or sorrow or crying or grief or pain, for all those things will have passed away. With that hope in our hearts, we can face no matter what the days begin, even the end of grief. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, fill our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.